Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, as Pastor said to the children, the text today is the eighth commandment, which says, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And so I'd like to talk with you this morning about your most prized personal possession, the most valuable thing that you own and can put your name on. And everybody has one. No, I'm not talking about your house or apartment or clothing that you wear. I'm not talking, ladies, about your wedding ring or other famous or valuable jewelry that you have. Really, this is something that is much more valuable than anything like that, but it can be stolen at any time, and there are really no laws against taking it from you. And there's very little you can do to protect it. And you can't even buy insurance to cover if it's stolen from you. So do you know what I'm talking about here? What could it be? Anybody got an idea? Well, Rolf, it's not your soul, although that is something that's very valuable. Ah, I heard it out there. Reputation. That's right. Good job. Your reputation is really priceless, isn't it? And the wonderful thing is, not only do we value our own reputation, I hope, but God values your reputation so much that he put this commandment over it so that we would know that it's be protected. Why is it valuable? Well, think about how long it takes for a person to get a reputation, a good one. It takes your whole life, doesn't it? Everything that you've done in your life that's good, every good decision, every commitment that you've kept goes into kind of a storage bank, a tank that follows you around. And when people think of you, they think of that, don't they? They think, oh yes, this person has done these good things. So it takes a whole lifetime to establish a reputation. But it can be stolen away, it can be shattered and destroyed with just a few careless words that come out of someone's mouth. You ever think about that? For instance, if I told you that Jim Wright is an honorable person, a good man, well, then you could either agree with that based on your experience, or you could disagree with it, and that would be up to you. And it would all be based on how me, Jim Wright, how I've led my life and what you've observed and what you've heard about me. But if I get up here and I say, Jim Wright is a scoundrel and he takes money out of the offering plate after church and keeps it for himself, well, then you'd be thinking some other things about this, Pastor Wright, wouldn't you? You'd probably think so little of him that you might stop giving to the Lord through this congregation. And you'd probably want to put Pastor Wright out of the pulpit because no scoundrel like that should be preaching in a Christian church. And if you did come to church, you definitely wouldn't listen to his preaching or believe anything he said because he's such a scoundrel. And if people ask you how things are going at your church here at St. John, you would probably say, well, not so good right now. And you probably wouldn't invite them here to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. All of this because of a few carelessly spoken words. Now, we're especially vulnerable to this because we live in America, and America's obsessed with getting the dirt, aren't they? I mean, I'm going through Meijer's department store the other day, and I'm standing there in the checkout with my family, and I'm looking at the magazine rack, and, well, what's in front of me? Well, there's a story about Jessica and Nick's breakup. And there's another one about the same thing. Who's Nick going out with now? And then I look over here, and there's the story of Brad and Jennifer and Angelina. And then there's poor Prince Di, Princess Di. You know, it's been about 10 years since she did die, that tragic death, but we just can't get enough about her tormented life there in Buckingham Palace. And they call this kind of publishing business. And these are people's private lives, aren't they? But it's making money. Apparently, America wants to hear all the dirt about everybody important. But today, this commandment warns us. It says that God detests this kind of talk. And he says that we should never say hurtful things about other people, no matter what. First of all, giving a false witness, that is, lying about them, saying they did something they didn't. But anything that would be hurtful against someone else's reputation or honor is a violation of this eighth commandment. And God furthermore says through Jesus in the Gospels that if someone hurts us in some way, well then, it is up to us to go to that person and tell them. Go to the one who's responsible. And he says this because we ought to have the same care and concern for that person's soul as God does for us. So we go to them, show them their sins so that they can repent of it and not perish in hell forever for that, and that we can express that forgiveness to them and be reconciled and not have this hatred and animosity between us. So God asks us to go to that person who hurts us. But what do we do? Oh no! We think that the last person we should go to is the person who has hurt us, and we should go and tell everyone else, as it makes us somehow feel better to get even with them and tell the world what an evildoer they are. And so we go about and we poison the air with deceitful words, and what we're doing all the time that we're getting this off our chest is we're showing and demonstrating to the world that we're much more evil people than anyone who ever hurt us. In fact, Martin Luther said, if you've really been hurt, instead of going around and telling people about it, you should take it to a judge, if it's that bad, the one who God has appointed to oversee such injustices, and see what he has to say about it. But if you're not willing to do that, then it's probably such a petty concern that you should bury it and forget about it. It's not just enough not to say bad things about other people for any reason. But we are called upon to defend others. When they're run down, when people speak against someone else, we are to speak up for that person, or we are to leave the discussion. We are to turn the conversation by mentioning good things that we have witnessed that person do. But don't be deceived if you can't do this and you get caught up in it. Because, you know, in such a group that does that, runs down other people for this and that and other reason, it won't be long until you're the one who's not there, and you'll be the topic of discussion. You'll be the one whose reputation is being dismantled by such evil people. You should expect no better treatment than that which you give to others. But in our world, there are some people who have a real problem with telling the truth. And maybe that's because somewhere early in life they missed that lesson where you learn that it's always best to tell the truth, because if you tell a lie or say something that's not true for whatever reason, you're going to get caught up, because one lie is going to lead to another that you have to say to cover the one that you just said, and it becomes a spider web, very sticky, that you can't get out of. You know, there are laws against lying. That's right. If you tell a lie in court, what do they call that? Perjury, yes. If you're in business and you do not accurately report your profits and debt, it's a crime. Or if you're in retail and you misrepresent products or the guarantees, you're going to be in trouble there too. But the government doesn't regulate what comes out of our mouths in private conversations. We are to see to that. But just because the government isn't monitoring that doesn't mean that God lets it go. Now, I have to tell you, my fellow Lutherans, that as Lutherans, we are particularly vulnerable to violating this commandment without knowing it. I say that because Lutherans typically, through when they grow up from their parents and confirmation classes, have a pretty good understanding of the commandments of God, the Ten Commandments. What I mean is, we know that we're not to have any other gods in our hearts and to come to the Lord with any other god on our lips. And we know that we are to remember the Sabbath day, that is, to have time during the week devoted especially for the hearing of God's word and receive the sacraments. We know that we are supposed to obey the authority that God puts over us. At least in principle, we know that. We know that it's wrong to commit adultery and what sexual sin is. We know it's wrong to take other people's property. We've been brought up this way. But here in the eighth commandment, with bearing false witness, something goes a little bit awry in the mind of a Lutheran, I think. We know it's wrong to lie. But if someone does something wrong to us, then we think that it's open season to criticize them point for point and tell other people what a scoundrel and evil person they are. And when we're confronted with it, we say, but it's the truth. It's public information. So it's okay for us to point it out and talk about it. Well, yes, it may well be the truth. But let me ask you this. If every sin you ever did was put on public display, what would your life be like right now? You wouldn't have a job to go to. You wouldn't have a family who loves and cares about you. No. You wouldn't have any friends, and you'd likely be driven out of town. Maybe this happens sometimes in us because we don't understand the seriousness of this commandment. And we really don't understand the difference between slander and gossip. Slander is when you say something about someone that isn't true in order to destroy their reputation. You are intent on that. People know that's wrong. But gossip is simply when you pass on damaging information about someone, whether it's true or not. And it's an equal sin. Psalm 141, verse 3 says, set a watch over my mouth, O Lord, and guard the door of my lips. You know, back in Bible times, they understood this very well about someone's reputation. And we fall into this sin so easily and so often that left to ourselves, there would be no hope for us at all. We fall under it, and we fall under the condemnation of a holy God who demands that his people not soil their lips with unclean words. The same lips that proclaim and speak the praise to God, that sing here in church, Alleluia, blessing to our Lord, can be used to do such evil things. And at such times, we got to think of Jesus Christ. Think of him there at his trial, the day that he died. You remember how they spoke all kinds of false things about him, gave false witnesses against Christ. They said that he was a rebel, that he was trying to lead an insurrection against the government, that he was a terrorist, that he said, tear down this temple in Jerusalem, this symbol of our national unity and our religion. Tear it down. But of course, we know he was speaking about his body, the real temple. They said such evil things against him. And what did he do there? He offered no reply. He could do that because he trusted in his heavenly Father and in God's judgment. And he looked ahead to us in our condition, soil as we are and people of unclean lips. And he knew what we needed. He knew we needed something that only he could give us, a new reputation. So we too can trust in our Heavenly Father. You know, folks, there's never a reason in our whole existence ever to tell a lie. That's something my mom and dad taught me at a very young age, and I'm very thankful for that. We can always tell the truth. We don't even need the little white lies. We can always say nothing at all, can't we? Yes, there's no reason to do that. And there's no reason to pass on information that will hurt the reputation of someone else unless we're put in that position by God and it's part of our authority where we have to pass judgment on someone. But very few of us are called to do that. And with your own reputation, don't worry about what other people think about you Just strive to live a righteous life and give a good witness to your faith in what you do and in what you say. By all means, don't go out of here this afternoon after praising God and calling upon his name in prayer and supplication and use your lips to run down someone else or destroy that good reputation of someone that God cares for as much as he does for you. And when you find yourself caught up in that sin, well, confess your sins to God and to those that you have harmed. Seek their forgiveness and go on, determined to do better next time. I know there's a lot of hurtful things said in our lives, isn't there? At work, people backbiting each other, but especially in the family. I know how sometimes in anger people speak very hurtful things against one another, husbands and wives, children and brothers and sisters and parents, biting words, hurtful words, comments and accusations, words spoken in anger. So to this morning, when God confronts us, as we cry out to him and say, "Oh Lord, forgive us, help us. We hurt the ones that we love the most, the people you give to us. Show us, O Lord, how to express ourselves in words of love and care." Friends, it's springtime out there. Have you noticed? As I walk up to my house, the little daffodils are popping up, and they're about ready to bloom this week. Always love to see that. Little hyacinths are coming up, and they're just ready to spread their petals and let that beautiful smell out. You wouldn't come up and step on a plant like that, would you? Just about when it's going to bloom? What a shame. So the other people that God has planted in our lives. We're all young plants in God's garden, and it remains to be seen what God is going to be doing with us. Some of us grow into big, strong, tall trees. Others of us are like those lush vegetables in the middle of summer and put forth fruit and good things to eat. And some of us are beautiful flowers with that wonderful smell, that aroma that comes off this time of the year. And so people and their reputations are to be treated with care. Speak kind words to one another, building up, not tearing down. Our catechism has taught us to put the best construction on everything. That's how I learned it in those older words. And today we say, explain everything in the kindest way. And what that means is take care of people through what you say and about them and what you say to them. If you got a problem, as I say, let the authorities sort that out. That's not our job. But trust God, and your mouth will produce good fruit. But if you can't produce that good fruit about other people, then be warned, because Jesus' words say that every tree that does not bear good fruit, well, you know how it goes, will be cut down and thrown into the fire. That's his warning for us in our lives to walk carefully. Proverbs 11:13 says, "A gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy man keeps a secret." In Christ, all of our sins have been covered over and they've been buried. We are free. God has now given us a new reputation. We can't erase in other people's minds the things that we have done wrong that they might remember. But before the Lord, all that is gone. And we are free. We all have the power now, through the forgiveness of Christ, to protect the reputation of other people that God loves very much. Friends, I think that as a Christian congregation, as people committed to live together in the gospel of Christ, this is a great place of power in this church that God has raised us up to be a part of. This can be the kind of place where people can experience the love of God in how we live together and how we love each other and treat each other with the ultimate care and concern for one another through our words and certainly through our works for each other. This is what God has led us to. This is the life that Jesus has put before us now as we journey toward the kingdom of heaven. That's what we want to do, isn't it? That's what we want to be, the people of God, with Jesus Christ as our example. Our words, our lives, our whole being devoted to Him, and thanks to what He's done for us and the place, the kingdom of heaven that He is bringing us. God be with you now and always. Amen. Now the peace of God that passes all of our understanding, keep your hearts in Christ Jesus. Amen.